like to welcome everyone to another episode of Two Men and a Bible Fighting the Cosmic Battle. And this is the postcast, which honestly, Bob, has really become one of my favorites.
You're looking forward to this.
Yeah, I love the postcast because, you know, that's where, you know, we really, and probably not any different than our listeners, we start coming up with questions, and we, you know, we start thinking, and we start, I don't want to say expanding our mind.
Batting the ball around, yeah. You know, hey, yeah, it's I hear you.
So let's go back to our topic tonight, which was the past, you know. And
as part of the past, right, to future and the present. And there's a reason to that sequence, but what we read was emphasizing the past, the creation account.
So let's really throw, I'm just going to throw on the table right now, creation and Genesis 1 through 3 to our group. You know, we've got James, John, and James, mm-hmm, and Bob.
Yep.
We got two Jameses, a John and a Bob. You know, I think we'll be okay with that.
All right. So what are you throwing on the table?
So I'm throwing on the table, let's talk about that. The creation itself, and really, you know, and I guess because it was something big for me to get my brain around, which was, you know, whose image we were created in and why. I mean, I think those are two very important topics to really come to grips with if you're gonna be in on the rest of the story.
Yeah. Does John or James have anything, you know, that has entered your mind about that? Or, you know, when I even hear anything along those kind of lines, I think, as some of our listeners know, if I haven't clarified this explicitly in the past, but in college, you know, I was a biology major, and I wasn't a Christian. And... You know, so when I read these opening words, you know, God created this, you know, it's sort of like, you mean we didn't evolve? Mm-hmm. And this podcast that we're doing tonight, this postcast is not really designed to go into that in depth, but the simple answer is no, we didn't. And there is startlingly, if you have never looked into it, little evidence that that ever happened. In fact, flatly speaking, I mean, it didn't. And there's no evidence to support the contention that we did. That's philosophy. That is not science. Evolution is a worldview.
Well,
it's not science.
And at that point, let's throw it out again. You know, Dad, you know, as you and I have gone through the journey together, you know, did it kind of slap you upside the head like it did me when I realized that we were created in the image of God? Because I really think that's the past we were talking about tonight.
Yeah, that's right. This,
you know,
the pinpoint.
Did it slap you upside the head that way, or tell me what you felt, you know, when that realization, that understanding, I guess.
How did that impact you emotionally?
Big silence.
Sorry.
That's difficult. I mean, my word. That how can we really be in His image and be as poor examples of humanity as we are?
Okay.
You know.
Yeah. Well, that's chapter 3.
Yeah.
Of
right.
Genesis. That's how.
I guess.
But that's the exact answer to that question, because that is a good first response. Oh my gosh, we're not acting like we're this image.
No.
We're not, because of chapter 3. You're right.
I feel pretty inadequate.
Inadequately prepared, right?
Well, no, I'm sure God gave us the ability to, you know, to be prepared. He gave us the Bible. But we're just, you know, I guess if John was here, he would say the word fallen, you know.
Right.
We don't do Mm-hmm. We're not able to do what we're supposed to do as well as we'd like to.
No, and it really, you know, again, and I'm glad we're doing this postcast, because it's really as a result of after creation that there was something went on there, that there was a part of, is creation the right word, Bob, that wasn't happy that man was...
Yeah, I see where you're going. Here's part of the frustration that we're voicing is when you just read the first two chapters, which is like two pages,
right,
of the story, it's almost impossible to close the book at that point. We're constrained by the urgencies of time and travel and things. You know, John had to go back up valley and so on. So there are constraints upon us, but... You almost cannot close the book at that point, because all you would be faced with is total confusion. Wait a sec, this is all set up perfectly. Well, how come I struggle so much with all these things? Well, we didn't read chapter 3, and then what ensued from that. So the Hebrew narrative is not really plot dependent as its primary mechanism, but there is plot in there. And without chapter 3, this book makes no sense.
Well, and even back, I mean, without day 6, the rest of the book is irrelevant.
Irrelevant.
You know, James, I mean, you're studying to be a pastor, you're wanting to be a teacher. When we talk about subjects like this, I mean, what does it stir in your mind when we talk about ourselves being, you know, in the image of our Creator? I mean, what does that mean?
Well, initially, like, when you asked Grandpa how it impacted him, for me, when Bob brought up the fact that we didn't come out of a goo pond and just started forming on our own, it really made me question, like, how I look at other people. Rather than myself, it made me question, like, that homeless person that I judge for getting himself to that point is the image of God. Or you have, like
two guys that drive in the left lane. Image of God, too.
They're the image of God. People who screw up all the time, they're the image of God. And for me, what's impacted me the most from that point is the fact that as Christians, as followers of Jesus, is that it's our job to show what God's love is like.
Yeah.
And so for me, that's been the biggest thing that's been impressed upon me, especially working with the youth, is that I want them to know that I love them, and that the reason I love them is because I understand, like, God's love for them and myself as well. So I guess that's the big part. When something like that comes to me, the way it impacts me is how am I treating other people, and how am I being an ambassador for Christ and not myself.
But all those kind of fall under teacher.
Yeah.
We're all supposed to go out there and be teachers, which is what James is doing.
You know, for me, also the way it impacts me, because I'm not just a teacher, I'm one of us. Mm. I struggle with the same thing you guys do. I mean, I'm not, you know what I mean? I have all of those, and there's times when life presses in on you so intensely, and you just have to get away, you know. And one of the things that drives our family is, you know, Kathy's very good about making sure we've all done our stuff, and we kind of need that, because,
we do too.
I see some dirt on the floor, you know, do I feel compelled to vacuum it, you know? No, I don't really care, but it should be. You know, she's right when she says, but she travels a fair amount, you know, because of her work. And so there are times when she's gone and Sophia will be occupied. And people are aware of where we live, you know, in America. We live in Colorado, in the Vail Valley, the far west end of that. But we have access to pristine creation.
Yes.
And I understand it's fallen, and we're just looking at the leftover beauty. But, you know, I'll just get in the car and go up to Sweetwater or something, you know, and just drive along the river, and there's all the mountain peaks. and pull over, and embarrassingly, I'll admit this, I just weep, you know, where your shoulders shake and you can't control your gut, and just go, we were created to rule this, and we dropped. I mean, the overwhelming nature of what we gave up. You know, you just feel like, but we did drop the ball, but God caught it. He recovered our fumble, and this is a Sunday, right, in the fall. So it's not lost forever, but what we gave up is almost unimaginable.
Oh.
We had dominion over the earth. The thing would have obeyed us. You know, when you get to chapter 3 and it's saying now, you're going to survive by the sweat of your brow. Now it's going to produce crops only after your
struggles.
And you're just going, oh, man.
Struggle.
How great it would have been to just, poof, and there it is. And everything would have been according, you know,
to the plan.
To our plan. Now it's not. It presently. It will be in the future.
Well, and if we look at things, you know, I think so many times, you know, especially today, and I'm going to categorize as Americans, we look at things as how they pertain to us.
Yeah, we're so egocentric.
Yes, so egocentric. So I really appreciated what John brought up tonight, is that before we can start looking into the future, we've really got to understand our past. And, you know, I hope our listeners, if you haven't heard the first few podcasts that we've done.
Yeah, go back and listen to the beginning.
Go do
that. Get the nuts and bolts.
And, you know, it's important. And, James, you and I have this talk a lot about, you know, Old Testament, New Testament, you know, the differences, the applications. And, you know, I really don't understand how you can have an understanding of the New Testament without the Old.
Yeah, that's right. You know, hold on, because we'll hand off to James in a second, but I want to jump back in.
Go ahead.
Because, as you hold
that's
on to your
thoughts. That's an interception. It's a Sunday.
I picked off his pass. You know, one of the things we didn't emphasize on the podcast, but I will take that opportunity on the postcast, is when at the end of chapter 1 of Genesis, it begins in verse 26 where God says, let us make man in our image. But then Moses clarifies, you know, for this reason, a man will leave his family and be joined to his wife. In the original creation design, America has thrown a few, or Western culture, has thrown a few monkey wrenches into that. One of them's evolution. But another one is the family is not emphasized today the way it was originally designed.
Yes.
And some more or less. Mine, hardly at all. And Kathy will often say, you know, when was the last time you talked to your dad? And I'm like, I don't know, 6 months ago or whatever. We don't talk that way. Well, when did you last talk to your little brother? 5 years ago? I mean, I don't know. And there's more reasons than what I'm saying now. But I don't look to my natural family as the context for my life. But originally, it was designed that way. I have found the context for my life within God's story, but not within my family. And often that is the same thing. You know, Kathy's family is all of the household of faith, and so you do have an intimate thing there, but I have not. So for all our listeners that are orphaned that way, you know, you have a mom and dad and so on, you have a family, but you're not intimately connected that way, you will be within the pages of the scripture, father.
When we look to the future, you know, because that's really, you know, if we think about our podcast tonight, past, future, present, which is a much different order than we normally think of.
Yeah. But also this, think of this, Jamie. At one point in the Gospels, when the disciples say to Jesus, you know, teach us how to pray. Good, that's a good question.
Good question. Mm-hmm.
He goes, or a good request. And he says, okay, our Father.
Mm-hmm.
Well, imagine what that means to me.
Yeah.
Because I am looking for a Father.
No.
And not that my dad, this is nothing to say negatively about my earthly father, but I mean, he has nothing to do with the faith and is staunchly opposed to that and so on. I'm orphaned spiritually. I grab onto that like, oh, man. So imagine the power of that, you know, someone who's orphaned that now has a father
who just happens to be
the creator, sustainer of the, you know, I'm like, oh, okay, I'll do whatever you want me to do. We'll go tell everybody, okay, I'll go do that. And when you run into resistance, it's like, I don't care. My dad said to do this. Mm-hmm. You know, you have this power source.
Well, going back to being a teacher, it doesn't mean you have to stand up in front of hundreds of people,
right,
50 people or 10.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to spread the word.
That's right.
Teacher.
The guy you met today.
Yes.
That's right.
And when you know the word, you are so compelled, you know, and that's, you know, when we think about our past, our history, you know, that is, you know, if we fast forward from where we're talking about in Genesis to the Acts of the Apostles and the Great Commission, and when they were blessed with the Holy Spirit and they went out, and every one of them was martyred. I mean, it wasn't an easy road. It's not like it wasn't,
Well, imagine it this way. So to bring it back to our podcast that we did tonight, imagine reading those first two chapters with one single substitution. Every time it says God, say Dad.
Yeah.
In the beginning, Dad created the heavens and the earth. Dad saw that it was good. Dad said to the council, let it you know, you're like, that is so different than reading it just God did that. Because that's removed. Okay, I got the data, but that data is external to me. And when you read it, Dad did this, now it's internal.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. That's what he means.
Yeah, and what we're talking about, beginning and end, I don't want to say end because there's not an end, but, you know, past, future, present, you know, where we're going is important. I mean, you got to know where you're going, or where are you going?
At least where you hope you're going.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Dad, when you would head out on a road trip with the family, I mean, you don't just head out and go, I don't know where I'm headed. You know, wherever we end up, kids, you know, that's the way we do it.
Do I turn right or left?
Yeah. But we all know those illustrations, and yet those are on the surface. But think as many of the things that surprise you out of human nature that you were, you know, somebody's instantly angry, you know, angry enough to hit you or do, you know, some extreme action over nothing, and you kind of back up and wonder, what's underneath that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they don't know where they've been or where they're going. So that creates a tension in them that's boiling to the surface.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see it so easily.
That's so common in our culture, becoming a very angry culture.
Yeah.
It's not because of politics. It's because we don't know where we've been or where we're going, and we're told we came from a pool of slime, and that there is no determined future. It's all random. Well, imagine what that message actually does in someone's gut.
Oh yeah.
And it's portrayed as, here are our wise men of our society, and we're gonna proclaim for you what's really what, and here's what's what: you're a piece of slime that has no direction. Okay, you preach that long enough, here's what you're going to start getting. You can go down to Denver and have a guy walk into a movie theater and just murder 30 people. Why would that even be a headline? Who cares? If we're all slime and there's no future, who cares who got killed today? I mean, there's... If they would just think through that message for one instant, they'd realize how inane that is.
Right.
But what does the enemy do? They infiltrate.
That's right. Yeah. You'll have even Christian guys, you know, pastors and ministers answer things in quiet moments not too far different from that. I've had a number of people over the years, you know, well, when I was in church, I asked my guy, you know, because they're teaching me in school, and so I went to my minister, and he said,
it's this.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
You got the wrong
guy. He's inside the walls. Yeah. You asked the wrong minister.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know how this world has a chance. You know,
apart from God, if it wasn't for God, nope,
we wouldn't have a shot. We wouldn't have a prayer.
That's exactly right. No shot whatsoever. That's right. So, what were you asking James when I interrupted you? When I intercepted your pass 15 minutes ago?
I don't remember.
He's got it.
You
don't.
I don't.
James.
I was just listening. I was enjoying that.
Well, I think, you know, the overwhelming, you know, sense of what we're talking about, and I will come up with a question for you, James, is, you know, what's your take? I mean, you're a different generation than the rest of us. You know, what's your by one or two. You know, what's your take on, you know, the truth we're talking about? Because when we talk in concepts of heaven, there's, I mean, the beginning, the foundation really has to be there. What do you see right now?
Well, all right. So I got to go to Bob's triangle he always draws, because that's really how I see my generation. You got like a little triangle up top with a peak. But I almost want to draw it upside down, but we're just going to do it this way. So yeah, like facts up top, little tiny triangle, and then theories, and then core values. And then so you flip it over, and the way my generation truly thinks is they put their core values and their beliefs ahead of everything, which what from talking to Bob a lot lately is that man is good. Man, no matter what man does, man is good. And then you have the theories like evolution, and then you have the facts like the truth, the Bible, the Word, and they're willing to put that, submerge it under everything. And you can see it, 'cause I was like watching this YouTube video about the about President Obama's re-election, and this guy, they go, why are you happy? And this guy goes, no more Israel. And this black dude says that.
It's kind of dangerous.
That's scary. It's terribly scary. And then it follows up with these other kids, and just the foolishness of my generation. They're like, well, the Jews came into Palestine's area and they took it over in the 1940s. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, do you not actually know what happened in history? You're just going to go back to the
40s. No, they don't.
No,
and
they don't know.
I'm sure they don't.
With what I see in my generation is like what Bob said. There's a lot of anger, and it's because what's been fed to my generation by the teachers, by professors, by the wise people, is you are just this scum pile, and there's no good coming out of you. And like, what scares me the most is the kids who believe in evolution, because what's that Huxley guy's name?
Aldous.
Aldous Huxley, where he said that the main reason that he believes in is because his sexual, he didn't want people to say that his sexual immoralities was wrong. He didn't want to feel compensated or is that
that's
the right
what
word?
He said. Yep.
And so you start thinking about this underneath the surface.
Literally, John.
I didn't know that.
Oh yeah. It's Huxley, you know, in his generation, huge cultural leader, great philosopher of the day, very much looked up to. You can look him up on the internet or wherever, you know, you find good information. But the reason we proclaim this is, now I'm adding my words, not because you have any facts, and he never said that, that we have any data that proves this. He's saying the reason we proclaim this is it'll liberate us sexually. Okay. And he's not alone saying the main guy is behind that whole...
He has a following.
Oh, huge. The biggest purveyors of evolution. That's why they'll say that. And they'll admit that behind closed doors. Here's what we're really after. We don't want any rules. Okay.
And so you see, like, you see that's like the underlying idea behind these kids my age thoughts. And then you go like a step further into like the entertainment world. And what frustrates me the most...
Pop culture.
Yeah, pop culture world is that what they're seeing, like, you have this new show called Underemployed, and it's about a bunch of kids who just graduated from college and now they're in the real world. Completely everything about it is just like, there's no God in the picture.
No.
There's no God. Like, be it like, Kendra and I, we kind of went out of the bounds and took our own faith and life into our own hands, and we, what's the right word? We conceived a baby outside of wedlock. Yeah.
Okay.
So you have a couple like that in this show, and then you have this one girl who's having troubles with her sexual orientation, whether she likes girls or guys, and it's all about this greed, sex, money. And then you have like shows like The Jersey Shore, and these are like what kids are
seeing.
Yeah. And the sad thing is, it's going to kids like my brother's age, middle school, and that's what they're thinking kids my age are doing, which we are. Not me, but my generation's doing. And then it's just like, you're kind of, it's just like a...
Spiral.
Yeah, spiral to nowhere.
Not a good one.
And for me, that's why, for me, I guess, with the way I look at God's word is that, I mean, I could beat the facts into their head all day long, but when it comes down to it, their core value is still going to overshadow that. So if I can act in love, if I can move in love, if I can... not be afraid to be bold and share the word.
Right.
Then that's going to affect them more than me just trying to shout out a bunch of facts. And then come in with like Bob's facts and everything. Because that's the one thing I remember most about coming to faith when we first moved up here was the fact that Pastor Bob here didn't like try and force it down my throat and say that the way I was living wrong was wrong. He like accepted me first and then we worked from there.
You're the image of God, of course. And, you know, some of what you're explaining, though, is, you know, there's a common gigo. You ever heard that?
I'm sure I've heard it, but I don't know what it means.
Garbage in, garbage out. If you show people all day long chaos,
that's all.
You show them Jersey Shore, they'll start acting like Jersey Shore. So, you know, the Christian message is often drowned out by pop culture. And so, but it's still God's word. I mean, it penetrates. You only need 1 ounce of that
Definitely.
To
you know,
completely change someone's
one life can overcome so much good.
Yeah,
you know,
and vice versa.
And
Darwin right.
on his deathbed said,
"Yeah, this
I don't know." He said, "This was all wrong. I'm sorry."
Right. He that's
basically right.
Right. That's
he
right.
Did.
But what
yep.
you handed some people was a gift.
Away.
You know, you may have said, hey, this is crap.
No.
But they took that gift.
They've run with it.
We'll have to do a podcast on that.
They
so
ran
people
with
can
it. Yeah.
have some of the real data concerning that. But, yeah, I hear what you're saying.
I invited someone to the
Truth Project,
and she said, and I guess I mentioned, I said, it certainly doesn't promote, you know, evolution. It's a Bible-based thing. I don't know why I even brought that up. Mm-hmm. Out of all the things I could have said, but we had a kind of a lengthy conversation. She says, "Oh, well, I certainly wouldn't compromise my principles by, you know, attending that."
Yeah, you know what though? In I hear you, and in the national polls, even by, you know, the pop culture, much less than 50% of the people actually believe evolution. When you ask them, they'll quite often answer that way out of peer pressure. But what they really believe, you know, when their results are, you know, their name isn't on it, they can just tell. Very few people
actually
believe
in
it.
How can you believe in that?
Yeah. What'd she say?
She said, I said, how can you believe in evolution?
And what she
said? I said, we obviously we'd still be evolving. She says, we are. So I said, have a nice day.
Yeah.
It kind of comes down to, Bob, whether you believe in God or not, you better pray that you're right. Right?
Well, you know, this is so, we really have to go back and do a podcast on evolution so people can see why we are as staunch as we are.
But it's so intertwined to what we're talking about.
Oh,
past,
yeah.
Future,
well,
present.
Is, oh, yeah.
It's
well,
a point where you got to go this way or this way.
Well, yes, let me clarify it in another way, but you're exactly right. In, you know, picture a human brain. Just picture that in your mind, like what you've seen in pictures and so on. And now impose upon that categories. Here's this chunk that does this, this chunk that does this, and so on. You know, little squares and circles and triangles all over that thing. And there are certain sections much bigger than others. And within that picture now, imagine a little corner of that brain, and that's called religion. And then imagine like 90% of that brain is one big square called evolution.
Yeah.
And that's how most people see the world. Like, here's reality. Here's the scientists at Stanford and Harvard telling us it's X. I don't know as much as them. So I'm going to believe those guys. They are really smart. They have high degrees, and all I hear is,
Did you hear me say infiltration?
Yeah, and in this, and it's all segmented out, and those big square people don't even care if you have this little section called religion, because they're like, yeah, that's part of humanity. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a religious component, and that's fine, but don't act like that little religious component is actually truth. That's just a religious component. The truth is this big evolution square. That those are the guys who are telling you the way it really is. They are scientists. And I just hear that and just go, you got to, those are humans. And what they're telling you is their
the truth
world
is
view.
Mm-hmm.
They are not telling you science. Ask them, where's the experiment that proved that? What data do you actually have? Oh, you can imagine a response. Oh, you're not one of those religious guys. Are you? Forget that. Just give me your data. What do you got? Show me your cards. Well, we don't have anything. That's what I thought. It's a gigantic scam. And they're not dumb. You know, those guys at Harvard and Stanford, they're not dumb. It's just the worldview they've been presented with from day one.
They'll tell you it takes a blind faith to believe in that.
Yeah, and you're going, blind faith? That's what you got.
Mm.
Right. You have no data.
They'll sit there and tell you
what you believe.
Oh, yeah. We've got some proof.
That's right.
Well,
some proof. So, but anyway, what James was describing, you know, was the whole schematic picture of where the culture is as far as it pertains to who he works with, you know, the youth.
Well, and Bob, honestly, as James described it, I don't see my generation any different.
No.
And I know a lot of your
James,
generation.
James, I got to tell you, you're not facing anything that
we haven't faced.
We haven't faced.
Or came out of. Or
been through.
Yeah.
It's like the Bible, you know, repeats itself kind of over.
Yeah, you're just, in other words, you're describing
over
the world.
And,
and the world, as a theological term, has been around ever since Genesis 3.
Yep.
But, again, you know, really, to kind of bring this postcast back to what we're talking about, it's because most people don't know where we came from.
That's right.
They're not in on that. On that part of truth.
That's right.
So they don't know where they're going.
No, and how
right.
can you?
If you don't know your past, you cannot know the future.
Right.
Yeah.
And thus, in the present, you are lost. That's why we're doing this called the past, future, and present.
Yeah.
So you can get your bearings.
Yeah.
So you can be anchored to the truth.
So let's close this up, Babo, but I want to leave our listeners with a thought. And that thought is this. Don't confine your past to your own personal memories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see the full context of your life.
Yeah. You know, where, you know, go back there and find where you were grafted in to God's family.
Mm-hmm.
Find that day. You know, that's an important day in life.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, find that day. And for our listeners, you know, this is my hope and prayer. You know, find that day. You know, and also go back and find the day where our Father gave us life. You know, that's very important. You know, but there's one more day that our listeners have to find, and that's Genesis 3, the day we fell.
That's right.
So,
let's close with a prayer. Lord, we take your words and chew on them and pick our heads up from the page and look out about the world around us and wonder about the things we're told and the options in front of us. And I ask that we would not listen to any voice except yours first.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Then we can listen to the other voices.
Mm-hmm.
Yours first, Lord.
It's not us.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Wow, that was good, I think.